Please take your Bibles and open them to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, if you would please stand. I'll read John 10, verses 1 through 6. John 10, 1 through 6. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. You may be seated. At the conclusion of John's account of Jesus' healing of the man born blind, two radically different responses were apparent. The healed man first came to the conclusion that Jesus was a prophet. But by the end of the narrative, he recognized that Jesus was not only a prophet, that is, a messenger sent from God, but was in fact the Son of Man, or the Son of God. And he bowed in worship before him. It is significant for our understanding of the person of Christ that Jesus accepted worship from the formerly blind man, which no mere prophet or apostle or angel would dare to do in the economy of the kingdom of God. When the people of Lystra sought to worship Paul and Barnabas, the two missionaries rebuked them. But Jesus did not reprimand the man who had been born blind for worshiping him. There are other occasions in Scripture where people are said to worship Jesus, and Jesus never refuses that worship. Jesus never rebukes them. Jesus never reprimands them for doing something that is inappropriate. The worshiping of Christ, the second person of the Trinity clothed in human flesh, is appropriate because he is in fact the Son of God. Therefore, it is not idolatry to worship him. By contrast, Jesus had no compliments for the Pharisees, for they refused to believe after seeing the miracle, which proved that he was in fact the Messiah and the Son of God, as he claimed to be. Though Jesus did not come into the world for judgment, but for salvation, nevertheless, those who refuse to believe in him are, as he said to Nicodemus, condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, John 3:18. Thus, John 3:39 does not contradict John 3:16 and 17. The reason for our Lord's coming was the salvation of those whom the Father had given to him. But the result of his coming was also the condemnation and the judgment of those who would refuse to believe. The Pharisees, who viewed themselves as spiritually perceptive, were really, Jesus indicates, spiritually blind. They were blinded by their own self-righteousness, by their pride, by their tradition, and by their false interpretation of the Word of God. The conclusion of Jesus' dialogue with the Pharisees read, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains. The Pharisees were not ready to worship Jesus because they could not and would not even admit that they were sinners in need of salvation. At that point, Jesus began a lengthy discourse, focusing on himself as the shepherd and on his care for the sheep as their savior. This is the last public discourse of Jesus recorded in John's gospel. The audience remained the same: his disciples, the formerly blind beggar, the hostile Pharisees, and others in the ever-present crowd. In this discourse, Jesus uses imagery that is familiar to his audience. He speaks of sheep, sheepfolds, and shepherds. Not only was shepherding a common occupation in those days and in that part of the world, but the Old Testament is full of this imagery itself. God's people are often referred to as, for example, in Psalm 100, verse 3, the sheep of his pasture. We read from Psalm 95, 7, that we are the sheep of his pasture, with God himself as our shepherd. David declares at the beginning of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. God's anointed one, the Messiah, is also pictured as the shepherd of the sheep. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 40, verse 11. The leaders of the people are described as the shepherds of God's people and nation. And in the prophets, we often read God pronouncing a woe upon those shepherds because they have not fulfilled their duty faithfully. For example, in Jeremiah 23, 1, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. So, for those two reasons, the metaphors Jesus uses in this discourse would be familiar to his audience and to John's readers. Jesus began this discourse by employing his usual formula for introducing a most solemn teaching. He begins, most assuredly, or verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jewish shepherds kept their sheep in two kinds of sheepfold. If they were out in the country, the sheepfold was like a low-walled corral made of stone with a narrow opening in front. If they were near town, the fold was much bigger and structurally sounder, and it was a common corral and often had a paid gatekeeper. So if they were near Jerusalem, for example, shepherding their sheep, when it began to turn dark, the shepherds would take their sheep into town, and they would place them in this common corral. Now, in this illustration, it is that communal corral or sheepfold that Jesus is referring to. There were sheep from various folds in that corral mingled together. And when the shepherd came for his sheep, He would first of all report to the gatekeeper for admittance. And the gatekeeper would not let someone who was a non-shepherd into the sheepfold. And when he was granted access by the gatekeeper into the sheepfold, the shepherd then would call his own sheep by name. When the sheep hear his voice, they immediately recognize it and respond to it. The British author H.V. Morton, in his famous book, In the Steps of the Master, gives this account. Early one morning, I saw an extraordinary sight not far from Bethlehem. Two shepherds had evidently spent the night with their flocks in a cave. The sheep were all mixed together, and the time had come for the shepherds to go in different directions. One of the shepherds stood some distance from the sheep and began to call. First one, then another, then four or five animals ran towards him, and so until he had counted his whole flock. Sometimes travelers to the Middle East have been known to pay a shepherd to exchange clothes with them and then try to call the sheep. But the sheep won't come because the sheep only respond to the voice of their shepherd. Sheep may be stupid, and they are, but they know their master's voice. Jesus said in verse 3, and he calls his own sheep by name. Palestinian shepherds named their sheep according to their characteristics. You remember Jacob was named, given the name that he had because he was a deceiver and one who was born clutching the heel of his brother. Well, shepherds named their sheep by their characteristics, and so the shepherd might stand at the door of the sheepfold and call out to Long Ear, to Stubby Tail, to Fluffy, or to Blackfeet. The shepherd calls each of his sheep by name. He calls them individually. He calls them one by one. And then he leads them out as they follow him. In verses 1 and 2, Jesus makes a contrast between true shepherds and those who are false shepherds. And he calls the false shepherds thieves and robbers. One of the duties that a gatekeeper had was to watch for thieves and robbers who would try to scale the wall in order to steal sheep, especially during the dark hours of the night. Now, the Greek words that are translated thief and robber are important. The word for thief means one who steals. Well, you say that's obvious. The word for robber means an assailant who uses violence. In this manner, Jesus describes the motives of the false religious leaders. Their ministry was devoted not to the good of the people that they were called to shepherd, but to their own gain, for which they were willing to use spiritual violence. The excommunication of the innocent man whose eyes Jesus had restored in John 9:34 shows how harsh and how savage these supposed shepherds could be. Jesus denounces First of all, their motives, and secondly, their methods. He denounces, first of all, their motives. They were self-centered. They were self-serving. Those who were thieves and robbers, did not care a thing about the sheep that they were called to shepherds. And certainly we learn from the scripture that the religious leaders of that day were motivated by popularity, by prosperity, by prominence, and by the praise of men. Jesus pronounced woe upon the scribes and the Pharisees for saying prayers, for giving alms, and fasting only to be seen by men and to be praised by them. The scribes and the Pharisees loved the chief seats at banquets held in the homes of prominent people. They were condemned by Jesus for their covetousness. They were in the ministry for personal gain and personal satisfaction and had no true concern for the people that they were supposed to shepherd. They were men full of pride who thought that they had attained a personal righteousness that others did not and could not attain. They had the audacity to thank God that they were not like other men, sinners and publicans. They lack compassion and mercy. They devour widows' houses, Jesus said in Matthew 23:14. They draw near to God with their mouth and honor him with their lips, Jesus said on one occasion, quoting from Isaiah, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus pronounced a woe upon them because they neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. They were thieves and robbers, motivated by their own self-interest, who had no concern for the sheep. And all throughout the Gospels, Jesus' most severe rebukes were aimed at these false leaders, these false shepherds. And he indicated that he considered these or them to be the greatest threat to the well-being of the sheep. In doing this, Jesus was taking up a strand of teaching with a long biblical lineage. Ezekiel devoted an entire chapter of his prophecy to describing Israel as the flock of God, abandoned by false shepherds. We read this in Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 3 and verse 8b. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The shepherds feed themselves and did not feed my flock. Like thieves, some ministers are motivated primarily by personal gain. They are filling their pockets with money, buying yachts, private jets, staying in the most luxurious and expensive hotels when they travel. They drive expensive cars and wear the most expensive clothes. They pump up their own egos through the fame of their ministry success. True Christians should realize this is not the motive of a true shepherd, a true servant of Christ. Yet millions today flock to hear the so-called prosperity gospel. False teachers promise that those who give to their ministry will be rewarded with wealth themselves and with good health. Their ministries, they claim, are supposedly anointed ministries and are supported largely through financial gifts. Instead of feeding the flock, there are so many who instead are fleecing the flock of God. In contrast, God's true shepherds are motivated, first of all, by a love for God and a concern for His glory. And secondly, they are concerned for the well-being of the flock and are not concerned about personal fame or personal gain. They care for God's flock and they feed the sheep of God's pasture. And how do they feed them? How do they care for them? They feed and care for them in a large part by ministering the Word of God to them. The Word of God in all its fullness, the Word of God in the doctrines that are contained in that Word. The true shepherd warns the sheep when there is danger ahead. A true shepherd warns his sheep about false shepherds, about those who are fleecing the flock through their ministering what is called the prosperity gospel, the health and wealth gospel. And if you want names, I can give you names. Probably the name that comes to your mind and mine is Benny Hinn. But there is also a fellow by the name of Robert Tilton, who followed the same, or actually preceded Benny Hinn. Grew a large church in the Dallas, Texas area. People gave millions and millions of dollars to that man via cards, making vows, promising to send at least $1,000 to him. And every now and then he would have a word of knowledge as he was on his television show and say, "The Lord has told me that there is someone out there that needs to vow to give $5,000. And then there's somebody else out there that needs to give $10,000. And people would do that. And they would send in these cards that he would send to them with their promised vow, their seed gift. And you know, the address on that card was to a bank in Dallas, Texas, where that money was deposited, and it was supposed to be, along with the gift, a prayer card. And guess what would happen to those prayer cards? They would be thrown in the trash and taken out to the dumpster. And guess who it was that brought all that to light? It wasn't anyone in the church. It was the secular press that brought it to light. His ministry stopped for a few years and then began again. Fleecing the flock, they're out there everywhere. False shepherds. these false shepherds not only are motivated by an ungodly motivation, but they also use false methods to gain a following. Jesus said the thief does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by some other way. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees misused the law to build their own power on the foundation of works righteousness. Richard Phillips comments, "In our day, false shepherds employ the tactics of Hollywood with its glittering entertainment and Madison Avenue, employing the subtle manipulations of the advertising firms to win large followings. But a true shepherd will stick to the ways of God, as taught in the Bible." Sadly, Phillips continues, we are living in a time when the worth of a Christian ministry is mainly assessed by the numerical size of his following rather than by the godliness of his methods and the biblical fidelity of his methods. In this way, multitudes are exposed to charlatans and frauds. In my view, Philip says, the two marks of false shepherds listed here by Jesus, false motives and false methods, are the greatest threat to Christianity in America, greater threats than any external foe. The fact that so many Christians select a church based on factors such as style and quality of music, the wealth or size of the congregation, the personality of ministers, or the fun and excitement of the service, rather than the godliness of the shepherds and the soundness of the teaching, is perhaps the greatest cause for alarm in the church today. Is he right? I think that he is. I think he hit the nail on the head. Well, in contrast, the thieves and robbers, there is the true shepherd. And the true shepherd is Jesus Christ, and he has a genuine love and concern for the sheep. And he goes to the sheepfold and he calls his sheep by name. And he leads them out and they follow him. We're running out of time. Let me give you the three characteristics of a true sheep. One is that the sheep of the true shepherd are those who respond to his call to repentance and faith in him for salvation. The second mark of a true sheep is that Jesus goes before them and the sheep follow him. You follow his example, you follow his teaching. And the third mark of a true sheep is that of refusing to follow false shepherds. How do we refuse? How do we know who is a true shepherd and who a false shepherd might be? Well, the only way that we're going to know is by the way that they live and what they teach, and does it square with the Word of God? And the only way you're going to grow in discernment is to know the Word of God yourself. To be good Bereans who evaluate everything based upon the Scripture. And if it doesn't square with Scripture, then you're not hearing the voice of God through that shepherd. And you need to reject what is said. But if it squares with Scripture, then you know God is speaking to you through that man whom God has placed as an overseer in the church to declare to you his word. And not only minister that word, but the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so the true shepherd of the sheep is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the true under-shepherds are those who follow his example themselves and who hold fast to his teaching and will teach and preach nothing but the word of God. And false shepherds are those who are in the ministry for their own personal gain, for their own personal satisfaction, who care nothing for the sheep, but who seek to gain in wealth or in fame by fleecing the sheep. And so we seek to follow the true shepherd and the true under shepherds, and we reject those who are false. Jesus said, "The sheep hear my voice. I call them by name. I lead them out, and they follow me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have been called out of the world by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he called us by name. He knew us intimately as those who had been given to him by the Father as his sheep. And when he called us by name, we recognized his voice. And we recognized that voice because by your Holy Spirit, you opened our ears and our eyes that we might know our shepherd and that we might respond to his voice. And you brought us out of worldliness. You brought us out of ungodliness. You brought us out of darkness and transferred us into your kingdom, the kingdom of light. And we thank you that you lead us now in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Oh, Father, may we always be those who are tuned to the true shepherd's voice, and may we always follow him. We pray in his name. Amen.